Maine's own the ghost of Paul Revere, home for just a few days and here in our studio. The Holler Folk Band, the ghost of Paul Revere, has been really, really busy this year. In fact, they're just back from a festival in Atlanta, Georgia, and are headed back out on the road Friday for a tour that will take them all the way to the West Coast. Earlier this year, the whole country got a chance to see them when they appeared on Conan.
Remember how it used to be when love for us was so damn easy? Then one day it turned around, empty house without a sail.
I'm Jennifer Brooks. Today, Griffin Sherry, Max Davis, and Sean McCarthy are here in our studio with their instruments to play a few songs and talk about making music. Maine Calling welcomes the ghost of Paul Revere. But first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling, and this is the ghost of Paul Revere.
On a power line, sweet little thing, don't you know you caught mine? Well, spread your wings and come over to me. I said spread your wings and come over to me. Oh, little bird, did you hear the song of mine? Spitting up words, taunting the blood and wine. The tears of my lungs, but you don't need a pain of mine. Yes, it tears my lungs, but you don't need a pain of mine. Oh, Lord, yeah. Cream bones be a lot of you tremble and shake be proud.
Thank you all. That was Griffin Sherry, Max Davis, Ben Cosgrove, and Sean McCarthy, and they make up the Maine-based band, The Ghost of Paul Revere. The song you just heard, Little Bird, from their new record, Monarch. I am thrilled to have the band in the studio today. As always, we want to hear from you. Have you seen Ghost play? Have you followed their star rise? If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. And if you are near a computer, you can see a live stream on this show by going to the Maine Calling website, our Facebook page, or the Maine Public Facebook page. Welcome, all of you, to Maine Calling, our first time on the show. So excited to have you.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to be here.
That's awesome.
So you guys have had quite a year. Holy cow. Whirlwind few months. On the road constantly, just back from Atlanta, headed back out of town apparently tomorrow.
Yeah.
How would you summarize what this year's been like?
Wow.
That's the pick is a wow.
I think so.
Whirlwind, yeah, for sure. It's been crazy. It's been really, really good. It's been a lot of hard work, but it's been we've really been making tracks all across the country, so which is great.
You had your national debut. You were on Conan. What was that like?
Ooh, another one of those wows.
Yeah.
It was really nerve-wracking. We had to be the first ones in the studio because we had to sound check and do kind of like a video check before the rest of the show kind of came in. And for a person... me personally, that doesn't do very well with nerves. We had to sound check and then we had to sit around for about 6 hours waiting to go on.
Oh my gosh.
So that 6 hours went by very slowly. And then the performance, it was over before I even realized it.
You say you're nervous. You know, this has all really been fast. And I understand in 2014, when you all first played Port City Music Hall, that was nerve wracking. Mm-hmm. That was just 3.5 years ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah, wow, it was 3.5 years ago.
When you put it like that.
But, yeah, I guess, yeah, 4 years ago, we that was the first, we had only played kind of small, we only played Empire and Big Easy before that. So that was kind of the first big move we made. And now we, I mean, this year we did two nights sold out, it sold out in November for New Year's this year. So it's been, it's been a quick couple of years, I guess, when you think about it. You live in a van, time tends to be really strange, so it seems like we've been doing this forever.
That's what I was going to ask you, how you tour. You tour in a van, and you're going to the West Coast in a couple months, right? So you're going to, it's big time road trip.
Yeah.
This one, actually, we don't have to drive all the way out to California, which is kind of nice. We get to fly out for a couple days, then fly back home for a week or so, and then we're out on the road in the van for the entirety of June.
I think we got like 3 days at home.
3 days?
Yeah.
That's almost like a week. That's
is somebody at least videotaping some of this on your phones?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
A lot of miles videotaped.
Okay, so people know you as the ghost of Paul Revere, but I understand you all have been friends a lot longer than you have been a band and have known each other since preschool. Is that right?
Yeah. Griffin and I originally met because we both have older sisters that are exactly kind of 4 years older than us. So, you know, when they would get put together, we would get put together, and it was a match made in heaven. And then Sean came into the picture, and it was, we haven't been able to shake each other ever since.
So have you been playing music since you were 4 years old? When did you guys all know you had this shared love and that maybe you could play instruments and the kind of music that complemented each other?
I mean, we've always been interested and entertained by music growing up together. We'd always listen to music together, and my first experience diving into a Beatles album in its entirety, I think, was in like middle school at Max's house. But we didn't actually play together until high school, I'd say. Like the beginning of high school, late middle school, maybe.
Bonnie Eagle High School,
Bonnie
right?
Eagle, that's right.
Yeah. Did your classmates know? Do they come up to you now saying, gosh, I always knew you guys were going to make it?
I think more it's usually like, I can't believe you guys are still doing this.
Yeah.
It's funny because, I mean, there's a big contingent of specifically our class, and we graduated in 2006, and that there's a lot of our graduating class that still live here in Portland, in the greater Portland area. So we see a lot of people that we grew up with on a regular basis. I mean, not so much anymore because we're gone 250 days a year. But, you know, it's cool to kind of still have that hometown surround you and follow you where you go. But
okay, you guys call what you do holler folk. Has it always been folk music, or did you try, like, if I could transport myself back in time to 2004, would you be playing a different kind of music in the talent show at high school?
Yeah.
Acoustic versions of Guster and Weezer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it was all kind of instrumentation. It was all acoustic instrumentation because I feel like it was the cheapest and easiest way for us to play in our parents' houses or outside, where we wouldn't really kind of drive anybody crazy in the household. So we didn't go crazy electric ever. So there's always acoustic guitars and vocals. Vocals was the big thing that we figured out we could do in high school.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I understand that last fall you recorded your third album, which is Monarch, and this one's kind of different than the other two. Who wants to explain to me about your first two albums and how Monarch is sort of, you know, taking it up a notch?
I think the first two albums anyway, the very first album, it was almost by right place, right time. We wanted to get something down, and we knew some people through some other people. So we recorded our very first EP at this place called The Cave in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. It's like a little punk studio. And then when Believe came along, we kind of transferred that whole energetic, we wanted to bring the energy of a live performance to the recorded disc. And then with Monarch, this was the one where we kind of wanted to step away from that whole live feeling. And we certainly delved into it a little more, just the possibilities. We wanted to make something that we couldn't easily replicate in a live situation. And I think we did a pretty good job.
And now we can't replicate.
We're still figuring it out.
Yeah, well, I'm sure when you're touring 250 days a year, it's hard to think about writing new songs for a new album. Are you trying, or are you just saying, we're going to do this in sections? We're going to tour, and then it's going to be over, and then we're going to write and focus on another album.
Well, I try to always continuously write. Max and I both do this really cool thing with our friend Max Garcia Conover, who actually introduced us to Ben. But we do a songwriter night once a month at Blue, where we sit down and we kind of workshed, new songs that we're working on, or ideas and stuff, and that kind of helps keep it going. I mean, we miss a bunch of them, but like,
when you say Blue, which is a club in Portland, Maine, you do this in front of anybody who's there that night.
Yeah.
You sit down and you say, "This is what I'm thinking about," and you start playing, and you see is the audience sort of yawning or looking excited?
It's a great trial by fire for songs, for sure. I mean, we call it worst songs of the week, but we have a blast doing it. We've been doing it for 2 years now, 3 years?
Yeah, almost three. Right?
Almost 3 years. Wow.
Yeah.
Man, see, time is just killing me today.
See, I want to know, Griffin, have you always had that voice? I'm going to ask you the same thing, Chris.
No, I didn't. I didn't always. I had to work really hard at being able to sing.
How did you do? I mean, you can really holler.
I can belt. Yeah.
You belt.
I'm good at yelling and being loud, I think.
But yeah.
I taught myself when I was in high school. I really wanted to be a singer in a band, and I really wanted to be a better singer than I was. So I taught myself by recording songs off the radio onto tape cassettes and then recording myself singing over top of them to see how close I was to the actual singer, and then changing it and doing that and just doing that for hours. And that's kind of how I started. And I also used to be in high school, I was in more of a hard rock band. So there was like a lot of yelling, and like, I feel like that somehow helped kind of harden my vocal cords into something that I learned how to use and work with.
So you haven't trained with a vocal coach who's okay, this is how to protect those vocal cords when you're 60.
He or she would probably be like, stop what you're doing. Please stop. You're on a bad path. But no, I just sing with a lot of emotion. So I think that makes it a lot easier to.
Okay. And Chris, you're the baritone of the group, right?
Yes.
And did you take singing lessons?
No. I did chorus and theater and stuff like that, and it just kind of switched. It was a big switch.
Sean was a fantastic Tevye.
It was a good old man. I always get good old man parts because of my voice.
And Max, what about you in singing?
I feel like I started singing to work with these two, so I feel like I always kind of was very shy about my voice for a long time and still feel like I'm learning how to sing. I think just figuring out how to harmonize kind of in between these two made it kind of figure out where my voice fit well and what notes I could hit, and then slowly start to figure out my own voice and how to stretch it and kind of be more powerful with it, I guess. It's always been started as kind of just facilitating the other sonic sounds, I feel like, but I've started to realize that I could kind of figure out where my strong suits were.
So, Griffin, you mentioned Guster. Mm-hmm. Who are your guys' other influences? Who do you love, still listen to?
Oh, man.
Oh, it's a long list.
It's a huge list. Yeah. I started with Elvis and the Beatles when I was a little kid, and then that quickly turned into Led Zeppelin, who I still listen to all the time. Modern people, there's a lot of bands that we love that are playing currently, people like Trampled by Turtles or Bon Iver or... I mean,
the
list is
the gamut from like soft singer-songwriter folk to Brother Ali and hip hop with a political message to what have we been listening to a lot recently?
Dr. Dog is always on.
Dr. Dog's new one's great.
Yep.
California Honey Drops is great.
Yeah, I was gonna say we kind of go all over. We came from slightly similar but slightly different households of music. So, you know, I've gotten way more into Bruce Springsteen. That was a serious miss kind of growing up. Not that my parents weren't into it, but it just wasn't around a lot. And Sean's family definitely had a lot more of that. And so, you know, Griffin had actually turned me on to Nebraska, and that kind of started. And now I'm obsessed with Bruce Springsteen. But like growing up, it was, you know, Bob Dylan and the Beatles kind of in my household. And then in the van, it's kind of a constant rotation. It's kind of cool to have such a wide berth of – a lot of people talk about when they're traveling in the van, it's like, you know, headphones on generally when whoever is driving and controlling the stereo. But for us, it seems like I'm always excited to hear what the other boys are going to play because they're still actively kind of looking out into what they're interested in, brings up kind of new places, and then it somehow makes its way into the sound no matter what. So it's interesting.
Well, I'm going to have you play another song after this next break. I'm going to have you play, is it Wild Child you're going to play next? But I don't want to make you get up and get behind your instruments right now. So let's go back to the song you played at the top, Little Bird. Griffin, you wrote that, right?
I did, yeah.
Tell me the story of Little Bird.
It's actually really funny. When we write songs, especially with the last record, I feel like a lot of the songs had a lot of weight to them, and they had a lot of... big ideas behind the songs. And Little Bird was exactly the opposite. We were actually at a buddy's house in Wissahickon, which is just outside of Philly, because we had just played Philly the night before, and I was waiting for everybody to wake up out in the lawn and just started to play that. I was working on a song called Montreal, which is in the same tuning, and just kind of was getting frustrated with it, so started to play something just for fun. And Little Bird was born that way because the only thing that caught my eye was a small bird that was on a power line that was like 20 feet away from me, and that's, sometimes songs work out that way. It was kind of a joke, and now it like then you get invested in it and you're like, oh, I want to make this actually something, you know, I want to grow it.
Okay, tell me about the song that we're going to hear coming out of this next break. It's going to be Wild Child, right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about the story behind Wild Child.
Griffin actually created that one too, and the first time I heard it was at that singer-songwriter night that we had been kind of working on, and then we were I think waiting to go play a show, and he started playing it, and I think the harmonies started coming in at that point. And then we realized it's always kind of fun, that moment when it starts to click and the other guys get excited about. Because usually someone brings a pretty fully formed version of a song in, and then once it clicks in the other two's mind, the harmonies start to come in, and then it feels like it's really starting to move somewhere.
So it's pretty much a democracy. Any one of you can bring a song to the rest of the group, and you're nice to each other, and you give them a chance, right?
Yeah,
you're all nodding and smiling, and it's not like, oh, no.
No, I think we've known each other too long to really be anything but honest with each other. So if something doesn't really work for a record or something like that, we still play it. We still have fun with the song. And then if it just doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. Or else it turns into something else completely different a year from when we first brought the idea. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
all right.
We need to do a better job of remembering them all. That's the trick.
Okay, so we are talking with the members of the Ghost of Paul Revere, home in Maine for just a couple days before they head out as part of their big national tour. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, you're going to hear them again singing their song, Wild Child from Monarch. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Hurricane Island, integrating science education, applied research, and leadership development, now and for the future. Learn more at hurricaneisland.net. And Evergreen Home Performance, offering energy-efficient windows and insulation to help homeowners achieve year-round comfort. More at evergreenyourhome.com.
From around the world,
this is News Hour from the BBC World.
Across the nation,
it's Morning Edition from NPR.
And here at home,
from Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ed Morin.
Maine Public Radio brings you news you can trust. We're committed to providing a valued and essential public service. It's at the heart of everything we do, connecting our communities and the world through a greater awareness and understanding of events, ideas, and cultures. Maine Public. Every day, it's
insightful. It's thorough.
It's personal.
Fearless.
Every day, it's independent. Of all the calls we take on Maine Calling, none are more important than the call that comes from you when we do our Super Thursday thing here at Maine Public Radio. Hi, Jennifer Rooks here. May 10th is Super Thursday, that super important day when we remind you, cajole you, inform you about the importance of making an affordable contribution, monthly or annual, to this station that you listen to and value. Public radio is public radio because of public support. So please join the club and do your part on or before Super Thursday. It's what makes it all possible. 1-800-866-1475 or online at mainpublic.org. Thank you.
I said, no, you, my wild child, I love. Be my wild child, be my well. Pretty young, wrecking ball. Saw her moving in a dance hall. Took all my strength to get off the wall. Cause I'm terrified of beautiful women. And I said, no, you my wild child I love. Be my wild child be mine. Well, if she loves you, you let her go. And if you love her, you know you move slow. Heads to stop, but your heart yells no. She'll always leave you and this I know. And this I know, this I know, man, this I know. And this I know, this I know, man, this I know. And this I know, oh, child, I can't get. Keep me down, I'm coming up. Take me to your promised land. Tie me down, I am your man. Oh, 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 oh. Well, you are the fuel for our goal. Sleep at night. And oh my God, I've made this up. Or am I really calling bluff? And what you see in him and not me. So one more drink and I'll be fine. Stumbling down the railroad line. I have no course, I do not have the time. And this I know, this I know, man, this I know. And this I know, this I know, man, this I know. And this I know. Whoa.
Fantastic. That was the song Wild Child from the album Monarch by the main band, The Ghost of Paul Revere. You heard Max Davis, Sean McCarthy, Ben Cosgrove, and Griffin Sherry. They are all with me here in the studio. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. Especially big treat to have the band here today because they're just home for a couple days in the middle of a great big tour, taking them everywhere from Atlanta to Berkeley, California, and Oregon later this year. So a big deal. I got to ask you about the name, The Ghost of Paul Revere. What does it mean?
What came to me?
Where did it come from?
Where did it come from? It came to me in a dream, actually, in college. I woke up and I say it came to me in a dream. I woke up and I couldn't get it out of my head and kind of held on to it. And when I was – before the ghost had become the ghost, I was out performing solo as Griffin Sherry and the Ghost of Paul Revere. And when we decided to kind of – this all coalesced into the group that it is now, we decided just to drop my name out of it because it – felt way better just be the Ghost of Paul Revere. So I think it has something to do with, you know, it's a Longfellow poem, but sometimes it feels like we're trying to like communally have a message, which is music. So I think there's a lot of things tied into it that I didn't realize at the beginning, but it really was something that just I knew was important and I held on to it. It's just weird.
Famously yelled.
We'll go to Amy, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Amy. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Big fan. I particularly love your song, The Ballad of the 20th Maine, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are on putting up to be the Maine state song.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
That's a great point, Amy.
A couple of avenues pursuing that, including possibly Amy. But, yeah, it would be awesome. I mean, the anything that we were talking about this the other day, I can't really remember what the Maine state song is, which is really bad. Right.
One with all the counties.
It's not a county song. We were talking about that. Yeah. But I would absolutely love it. I mean, I think that's a really important part of Maine history that sometimes gets overlooked. The 20th Maine and what happened in the Battle of Gettysburg and how important that was for the state, how important Joshua Chamberlain was for what happened after that, too. So yeah. I would absolutely love it. It'd be crazy.
A huge honor.
Amy, thanks for calling in. We've got Nicole on Facebook. She writes, very exciting watching everyone fall in love with them and their music. And then Maxine says, I'm so proud of you guys and have had a blast seeing you grow this year. I'm performing a tap dance to Little Bird this June, and I can't wait to share it with you.
Oh, send us videos.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Please.
That's great. Oh, I love it when we've had a couple people do dance routines to songs, and it's so cool to watch because it's so foreign to me. I could not do that.
So, Maxine, thanks for your email. We're going to go to another call. This is Richard, who's calling from Belfast. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks a lot for taking this call. I you know, there are a few things in life that are as precious and as wonderful as hearing new music. I think that music has just a way of bringing you to a place where really nothing else can. And from the bottom and the depths of my heart and what is that of a frustrated musician soul, I want to thank you guys for sharing your music with this old guy as he just drives around looking for jobs for people who are looking for jobs. So thanks very much. And, you know, I look forward to seeing you and hearing a lot more of you.
Great. Well, thank you so much,
Richard.
That means a lot.
Great. Even though you guys are home now, you're not performing this trip. You're not going to be performing in Maine until September, right?
Yes. That's right, yeah.
Tell me about that. It's kind of a big deal, right?
Yeah, it's the Ghostland Festival. This is the second one. We're super excited to bring it back with help from the State Theater here in Portland. We're going to be at Thompson's Point with Shovels and Rope, who's a band that we really admire. They're from North Carolina. And our friends the Ballroom Thieves and Max Garcia Conover. And Hannah Damon and the Martell sisters, although they just changed their name.
Right.
Sibylline. Yeah, yes. Yeah, there we go. Nice. So it's really cool. We decided to start a festival in 2014, and this has been – we did the first one totally on our own. We paid for everything. We were the ones, like, setting up porta-potties and fencing and parking cars, and, like, we brought all these local musicians, and we made it a two-day thing up in Brunswick. And we have wanted to bring it back since then, and it finally all the pieces – started to fall together this year to make it to the scale that we wanted to start to grow this to.
All right. Well, we're going to play, not live in the studio at this point, but a recording of your song, Montreal. Now, this is what you all performed on Conan in February, right?
Yes.
Remember how it used to be, you and love for us was so damn easy. Then one day it turned around, empty house without a sound now. Are we growing apart, or are we growing up? Are we waking up?
So when you get an invitation like that, how do you decide which song to sing?
Actually, they requested a song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, initially Conan and his folks wanted us to play the song Wild Child, but they had the stipulation that it needed to be under 4 minutes long, and Wild Child is about 4 minutes 45 seconds. So we took a couple of rehearsals to try and figure out how to maybe whittle it down, and we just couldn't do it while still doing service to the song. So we asked them if they'd be willing to take Montreal instead, and they were like, oh, yeah, this one's actually pretty good, too. So it works out for everybody.
It's fine. It's not what we wanted.
Exactly.
Okay, well, we're getting close to another break, so I'm going to ask you guys to see how this is going to work. If you can go from this mic to the other mic and get ready to play, what are we doing next? As we know. Okay,
sure.
So well, you get yourself ready. I'll reintroduce the band. This is The Ghost of Paul Revere. You're hearing Sean McCarthy, Max Davis, Ben Cosgrove, and Griffin Sherry. And this is also, as we know, also from Monarch, your newest album that just came out last October, and what you've been touring with. We're getting some microphones set up as I talk here. 250 days in 1 year. Is that enough time? Have I put you on the spot?
Oh, yeah. Is that a different tuning for the guitar?
Oh, of course it is. I blame our producer, Jonathan Smith. This was his idea.
Just got to try out my fire. Yeah, you want to stay in the middle? You're singing?
Okay. Fine.
Cool. Ready?
Day I turned to walk away, but never got too far. All alone with my eyes out to sea, all the while thinking of where I should be, and my eyes out to sea. Foolish is the mouth and words that it lets out, though rarely understood. Onward now, though my heart's in the pine. Onward, how to get back to that time when my heart's in the pine. La-da-da. As we know.
The Ghost of Paul Revere from their latest album, Monarch. That was As We Know. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling. We're going to take more of your calls after a break. I want to apologize to Jonathan for throwing him under the bus. What a great song that was to hear, As We Know. Do you have questions for the Ghost of Paul Revere? Phone number 1-800-399-3566. Stay with us.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Norris, helping businesses and schools stay safe through engineered security, life safety, and emergency communication systems. NorrisInc.com. MEMIC, celebrating 25 years of working with employers and employees to reduce workplace injuries. On the web at MEMIC.com. And Freemasons in Maine, supporting Maine Public Radio's efforts to provide knowledge, wisdom, and entertainment to the people of Maine.
Whether you listen for a few minutes a day or a few hours.
Africa is facing an invasion.
Could you be more material about what you mean, Ambassador?
Whether you listen for hard news or just fun.
You sound like a squeak toy on some of that.
You're in your car humming what has become one of the most...
When you listen to NPR, you trust us to be a part of your day, to bring you news and information that's important to you. Help us continue to be the station you count on. Become a sustaining member of this station for the very first time. Now more than ever, we need your help.
The power of ideas and information and news on Maine Public Radio has the power to bring you close and also take you far away. This unique opportunity to engage with the world through the wonder of radio is made possible only with your contribution. And today, I'm asking you to keep Maine Public Radio close by making a donation in support of the voices that add so much to your life. When you donate today, your voice and your support are heard loud and clear and will count towards the upcoming Super Thursday one-day pledge drive. Please call or go online to mainpublic.org right now, and thank you.
Super Thursday is tomorrow, May 10th, but you can contribute right now at mainpublic.org or by calling 1-800-866-1475.
To the Ghost of Paul Revere with their song San Antone from the album Believe. That was their second album. The band is here with me in the studio. Sean McCarthy, Max Davis, Ben Cosgrove, and Griffin Sherry. In a little while, at the end of the program, we're going to have them perform another song for us live. In the meantime, if you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call. Our phone number 1-800-399-3566. Before we go back to the calls, though, would you say that this song is the one that audiences, number one among live audiences?
Yeah, I think so. Wherever we go. Yeah, it's pretty crazy how much it's grown and how many people know the words.
Yeah, everybody knows the words now. It's awesome.
I've always fantasized about that, to have written something that other people sing along to. It must be just a surreal feeling.
Yeah, I remember the first time exactly at Empire.
Yeah, our first CD release show at Empire was kind of our second time playing on a stage was that show. And we had just opened up for Dark Hollow Bottling Company like a couple months before on the same stage. And we went back and did a CD release and it sold out. And somehow EP had come out like a week before, and somehow a ton of people knew all the words already, which was just mind. That's a crazy feeling. It's crazy.
We'll go to Natalie, who's calling from Biddeford. Hi, Natalie. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to call and say how much I love you guys. I got the opportunity to see you for the first time in 2016 New Year's at the State Theater, and saw you guys again at the Darling Side show. You were supporting them. I just think you guys do amazing work for Maine, and I love your music, and I'm so excited for all the success you're having.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That Darling Side show was great.
Yeah, yeah. It was.
Those some good buddies of ours.
Yeah, thanks, Natalie. We're going to go to Heather calling from Standish. Hey, Heather, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Love you guys. I see you every time you're around Portland area. I usually work security for your shows, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Thought so.
Hi. Hey, when you guys record, do you guys think about how it's going to sound on vinyl, or do you really just concentrate on MP3 or CD sounding, or do you not think of it at all?
We actually think about it in form of vinyl. And I like when I do the like when we start and do the record design, the design of the record is also designed for vinyl. Even though we're just kind of getting into doing it on vinyl, but we master all of our stuff at Gateway, which is like this incredible resource that Maine has, and we work with Adam, and Adam is just so incredibly talented, and we master for vinyl first. So that's always kind of in our mind, and the especially with Monarch, we started to think about like that that as a record having two sides, like having to listen to a part one and a part two, and I really am interested in album form. I know it's starting to disappear, but it as a way to present music, I think it's really interesting. So it's always in the back of my mind.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Heather. Yeah, we're going to go to Susan calling from Portsmouth. Hi, Susan, go ahead.
Hi. Well, I wanted to say you've gained a new fan today. Thank you for having them on, Jennifer.
My pleasure.
You know, I'm stuck in sort of the Neil Young, Joni Mitchell era, and it takes a lot to break that barrier. You guys are awesome.
Thank you so much. It's a good place to be stuck.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, that's true.
Every year, and I have for a long time, and you guys are so perfect for Newport. The Folk Festival have you thought about it, or is that something that might be on the horizon?
I think about it every day.
Yes.
So I hope you play there. Thank you.
We played in 2015.
Yeah.
They invited us to play on the museum stage and for this thing with Converse, and that's kind of how we did our second EP. Was with Newport. So we very much want to go back. As soon as they invite us, I used to send them emails just saying we'd come like pick up trash just so we could come see the festival and hang out at the festival.
So this email might be the email of the day. This is from Brian. Being the younger brother of Sean, I've had the fortune of watching the Ghost of Paul Revere from its inception as three friends going to elementary school together to its current form as the country's main hollow folk band. I have no doubts they will continue to make amazing music and continue this fantastic journey. Best wishes and luck to the band.
Aww. Thanks, Braga.
Thanks, Brian.
We'll go to Emer, who's calling from Wyndham. Hi, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Emer.
I'm so happy and so proud for you guys, or proud of you guys, for hitting as many roads or many stops on the road as you guys have. I was super excited to see your recent adventure at Shaky Knees Festival.
Oh, yeah.
But I was wondering, what do you guys miss the most when you're on the road?
Ooh.
Oh, boy. Well, every time before I go on tour, I usually get an Amato's with a Moxie. An Amato's Italian with a Moxie.
Oh, my gosh. I was going to guess Moxie.
Gotta get that.
Literally can't get it anywhere else. It's crazy.
But, I mean, honestly, just Maine in general, Maine and its people. It's funny, not everybody gets sarcasm like we do up here. And just some of the geography that our country has is, I don't want to be mean, but not as good as Maine.
It's not quite as aesthetically pleasing to the eye. It's fine.
Exactly.
A big swath in the middle.
We don't do well in Kansas and Nebraska too much.
Yeah. Well, Emer, thanks so much for calling in. So you guys have played a lot of festivals. Have you gotten to meet any of your heroes, gotten any advice from them, any really cool moments you want to share?
I just got to shake David Byrne's hand in Atlanta, which was incredible because we're big fans. His set was so good.
Yeah.
We have like, yeah, I think we have funny little interactions with people running into, especially playing stuff like Delfest, where you have all these incredible kind of bluegrass and folk acts that are there and they're playing with people, and to run into people like Del or Gnome or Bela or Chris Thiele, and like just be able to like some of the festivals are great because you get to watch other people you admire with people you admire, like because the bands are usually just hanging out watching other musicians play, and that's that community I think is something that I've always loved that we've kind of found ourselves in.
Yeah, a lot of the festivals that we've been playing, kind of harping back to Newport, and especially in the kind of folk and bluegrass world, are very kind of community based. So you see the artists that sometimes aren't even playing in that area come kind of like just to congregate around with the people who are there. I still feel like we're pretty starstruck, kind of like fanning out a lot of times. So 100%. We try to have very normal kind of interactions, but a lot of times we feel like super fans kind of out there. But
so you're trying to be super cool, and then you run back to the band and are like, man, can you believe that?
On a good, that's the best case scenario. Yeah. Is that we can be super cool around these people. But
most of the times we just geek out. I wish we'd have the presence of mind to ask for advice or just ask them anything, because most of the time it's just, oh, my God, he just said hi to me.
You guys are playing Austin City Limits Festival.
We are.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And what else do you want to tell me about? What are you most excited about this coming year, other than September 1st and Ghostland?
Yeah,
here in Maine.
We get a chance to go up to the county in the middle of the summer, which is always one of my favorite things. Travis Sear, who is a singer-songwriter up there, started something about 10 years ago called Roots Acoustic, and we try to be a part of it whenever we can.
Okay.
And I'm always looking forward to that. But that run out to Texas, we've got some really cool shows. And Bottle Rock.
Bottle Rock.
It's 2 weeks away. That's we're flying to California next in 2 weeks. And we're playing San Francisco, and then we're playing a festival called Bottle Rock, and it's really huge. It's in Napa. So there are a lot of people I really want to see at that festival.
Mm-hmm. And going back to Strawberry Fest on that run, too,
which is a really cool kind of. It's in Tuolumne?
Not this year.
Grass Valley. Yeah, not this year. Last year was in Tuolumne.
Yeah, bounces back and forth.
But the Sierras, I love that.
Bone Fest.
Yeah.
You got Red Wing Roots.
Right.
The festivals are usually they're usually kind of the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Although this weekend, last time we were at Brighton Music Hall, we were close to selling it out, and I think we're close to selling it out now in Boston, so that'll be this weekend, which will be awesome.
Yeah.
Terrific. So if you want to take a road trip this weekend, take just a few tickets left. So I mentioned this at the beginning of the program. If you want to watch these guys, we're streaming this on Facebook Live for the Maine Calling Facebook page, for the Maine Public Facebook page, and also on the Maine Calling website. We're going to let you sing one more song, or not let you. We're going to be we're psyched that you'll be singing one more song for us as we're out tonight. What are you going to sing?
Avalanche.
Okay, so this is going to be Avalanche, and while you guys are getting behind your instruments, I'll do my regular close. So this is The Ghost of Paul Revere, and I want to thank Max Davis, Sean McCarthy, Ben Cosgrove, and Griffin Sherry for being here today. And the other thank yous go to Roddy Nickpour, who ran the board. We had additional help from Nick Woodward, Nick Godfrey, Andrew Catalina, John Keimel, Steve Jeskela, and John Bradford. Our intern, Owen Manahan, answered your calls, and it is a bittersweet day for us today because it's Owen's last day. He has been a huge help, and we wish him well as he prepares to embark on what we know will be a great college experience. Thank you, Owen. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith. This program, produced by Jonathan Smith. Maine Calling is also produced by Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio, and here is The Ghost of Paul Revere. Oh.
Darkness.